how Bonnie and Camille were even asked to do a paper at this conference. For instance, why weren't other black women found to participate here? Why were two phone calls to me considered a consultation? Am I the only source of names of black feminists in this country? And although Camille and Bonnie's paper ends on a very important and powerful connection, that of women loving women, what about interracial cooperation between feminists who do not love each other? It has been said in academic feminist circles, as an answer to some of these questions I am raising, we did not know who to ask. Now, I ask that you consider this very carefully. That is the same cop-out that keeps black women's art out of women's exhibitions, black women's work out of feminist magazines, except for the occasional black women's issue, and black women's texts off most of your reading lists. Yet, as Adrienne Rich pointed out in a recent talk, white feminists have educated themselves about an enormous amount of material over the past 10 years. Why is it that you have not also educated yourself about black women, about the differences between us, about what, for instance, black women are doing, what black feminists are doing in this country, particularly when these questions are key to all of our survival? Women of today are constantly being called upon still, and each one of you in this room knows what I mean, whether you associate with men or not. Women in this country are being called upon constantly to stretch across the gap of male ignorance and to educate a male world as to our needs and our beliefs. Now, this is a primary tool of all oppressors to keep the oppressed occupied with the master's concerns. However, now we hear that task of black and third world women to educate white women as to our existence, our difference, our relative roles in that joint survival. And this is a tragic repetition of racist, patriarchal thought. Simone de Beauvoir said, and I quote, "It is in the knowledge of the genuine conditions of our lives that we must draw our strength to live and our reason for acting. Racism is a real condition of all of our lives in this place and this time. I urge each one of us here to reach into that deep place of knowledge inside herself and touch that terror of any difference that lives there, and then see whose face it wears. It is then that the personal, as the political, can begin to illuminate our choices."
Another experience about a kind of racism against me as white woman in Italy. And when I say the word black, it doesn't contain the tension which contains here. I can understand this, but I don't want to make a censure on myself when I say something that I suffer very much in my country. I'm sorry, I apologize also because your experience is very different from mine, but my experience is very hard too. Because my experience is very different and very heavy too. Want to affirm that,
Being here to speak and for going all the way through with it, and expressed some desire to have more time to speak with me personally. Well, I have a wish and hope for you that in the future, whenever you attend a feminist conference, that you have never have so few women of color again to speak with you individually. I mean, it really isn't that hard. There are millions of us. Also, again, many people acknowledged to me, many white sisters acknowledged to me that they personally appreciated my remarks and on Thursday night, and then went on to tell me that Robin Morgan's behavior was unacceptable. Well, I'd just like to say this, that Robin Morgan's behavior got me on that stage Thursday night. And if you found her confrontive, if you found her saying things that offended you, she was wild. She had been talking by herself with six or seven women who were the organizers and the panelists for that evening, trying to convince them that it was a good thing for me to be here and to speak. I actually didn't find out until the next day exactly what the conversation had been like, and I won't go into that now, because actually it's an old song, and dissonant notes that I really hope we don't have to repeat again too much anymore. At any rate, as I said, Robin Morgan persisted. She even failed to accept the compromise that was offered, that join my sisters on the Black Feminist panel the next day. I would have liked to have done that, of course. However, if you truly appreciated having the opportunity to hear me, all of you, then you will immediately realize that if I had confined my remarks to the Black Feminist panel, the vast majority of you would not have heard them. So, that's about all I have to say, except that just to share with you something that happened this morning. I retyped my remarks on Thursday and brought copies for Audrey and Bonnie and Camille, a few other sisters. And Audrey took the time to read them. She unfortunately was not here to share them with me personally, but we shared them this morning. And she said to me that, she said, "Susan, one thing is that you're not hearing, or you're only beginning to hear, the message that Black women artists have been stating, emanating for a very long time." And I said, "Yes, I know. My ears have been very trained, and I'm struggling to open them up again. So, you know, I can acknowledge that most white feminists share an advanced case of my problem. So I invite you to struggle with each other and with women of color who, you know, Camille said, will be just around the corner, or around the world, especially around the world. Anyway, to struggle to overcome this deafness that separates us. Thank you.
Why much the mic up, Amy.
My name is Amy Kettle. I have a feeling that a number of the problems that you've reappeared both in the panel and from the audience in the last couple of days have to do with a separation between theory and practice, which I think needs to be addressed. For example, I think this conference lags behind the feminist movement as a whole in terms of the representation of black women. And I think that in some senses what has happened, to use Audrey's phrase, we are using the master's tool in that this conference reflects the fact that theory is taking place inside academic institutions because that's how our experience has been truncated. Now, as I was listening to Charlotte's discussion yesterday, and her description of the components of theory, I was trying to figure out where are we in her paradigm. She talked about description, analysis, strategy, and vision. Where are we in that? We are somewhere in between and in the very early stages. And I suggest that the reason that in order to move further along in that paradigm, we need to involve in these kinds of theoretical discussions people who are working in actual struggles of the feminist movement. I'm not being anti-theoretical or anti-intellectual in saying this, but I think that our theory needs to reflect more directly the kinds of things that are going on outside the walls.
I'd like to ask if everybody could keep their remarks to roughly 2 minutes so that everybody can get a chance to speak and respond.
I feel this is a perfect opportunity to say what's been burning me up for the past 7 or 8 years. I feel very hurt for Audrey and for the women's movement and those of us who have really worked very hard in the streets and to raise groups fighting for abortion rights, fighting for the rights of battered women, fighting for child abuse, fighting all kinds of issues that concern heterosexual women. We're in Del Marie, so I obviously think that's a problem since I was defined earlier. I'm not a scholar. I have technically back credits, which are probably not good anymore. But I am intelligent and creative. And I keep hearing the word metaphor. And I went to one workshop with some women here, and I was referred to as a metaphysical feminist. I don't know what that is. I'm not living on a USO. I live on the Upper West Side. And I'm not a metaphysical feminist. And I'm a woman, identified woman, and I feel that the point I want to make here is all of the topics that I mentioned that are intersexual topics are very important. We help you define theory, we help you women with your analysis, we help you put on your conferences, we work for your marches, we work our asses off, and I'm really tired. And I would like to know, and I'd like to hear some discussion at some point, I'd like to know when you women are going to come to Washington. I have no right. When you after you've written your papers and your books and got your roles and all that, which is fine, it's wonderful. I've written a book too, Little Crip. You ought to buy it. I would like to know how much support we have out there. And I feel like I want to be around the corner with my black sisters. I feel like the unwanted stepchild of this movement also.
There is a more
Washington is, there are gay men, but there are many thousands of lesbian women marching to be there and be there proudly and be there for a variety of reasons, but we don't have a right. We'd like you to join us, and it is October 14th. I have my tickets. I hope you get yours.
May I just say one thing in case you need another kind of translation? What Chelsea is talking about is putting ourselves on the line, not taking part in theory, but being ready to live it.
My name is Vicky Kosnick, and I have heard everything that the last speaker just said. I've been having sex with you, and I apologize for that. I've heard Susan McKinley speak on Thursday night, and I felt with her then, and I feel that the conference has come a long way since Thursday night. It has, and it has limitations, I believe, but that we've made progress, because I really think that there's been some honesty here in terms of facing the limitations in theory in the women's movement, which are leading to limitations in the practice of the women's movement. I believe that we now have a much better idea of what those gaps in the theory are, and I hope that we can move towards filling them, because I think we're in a hurry. And if we don't get moving, there's going to be a problem. I think that the 70s have been a time of diversity and individualism and conflict, and they've been a time of reflection and theorizing. And that I have a feeling that the 80s could be a time of new activism, a time of activism like the time of the 60s. And I think that it's critical that this conference is in 1979, on the threshold of the 1980s. Because I think that if we face honestly what the limitations in the theory are, we can move towards more pragmatic activism. And I think there are limitations in terms of, I think the panel this morning suggested that we have limitations in terms of the way that we've dealt with heterosexuality within the women's movement. There are many other limitations. Well, but that's one that just comes to mind at the beginning this morning. And I think that a new activism will be based on its unity, and the new unity will be based on a new theory, and that theory will be based on a unity in diversity, the diversity of lesbian and heterosexual, the diversity of black and white, the diversity of poor and middle class. And I really think that that's the thing that this conference points to, is the importance of unity and
diversity stand next to each other. My name is Linda Hoffman. First of all, I would like to thank the woman who got up in the middle of the panel and thanked all the Lord, because I feel she did what the other women on the panel, and I was somewhat dismayed that they didn't do anything about it. And I feel as a typical white middle class thing to do. In terms of Bonnie and Camille said something, and the other women on the panel proceeded to present their views as though nothing had been said, that they had not been moved in any way. And I feel that what they had said demanded a kind of response that I feel the panelists were inadequate to. I really feel that, and I'd like to talk about the conference. The word black feminism is mentioned once on the program, and it is relegated to one workshop. The word lesbianism is not mentioned once at all. And I feel that it goes one step further than the comment that all you have made, that this kind of same presentation assumes that women of color, lesbians, poor women, handicapped women, have nothing to contribute to these various issues. I think it goes further than that. I think it denies the fact that these various women have over the years, and often working by ourselves, by themselves, have fundamentally altered the feminist agenda and have changed the kinds of priorities that the feminist movement has placed for itself. And I think in not taking these kinds of contributions as structurally integral to this kind of feminist theory, I think that the conference has ripped off the few women who were asked, the few women who were not white and slave who were asked to present their views. I hope that we can learn from all the things.
I agree very much with the last speaker. Sometimes when I hear people say something like there are gaps in mastery of black thought, lesbian thought, or lesbian presence or black presence, that I feel a little bit like I do sometimes when I hear women's studies being talked about by male professors who say, well, that is an area that we do think needs to be covered. In other words, it's a kind of separate area. I think we need to think in a much more integrated way about the university. I want to add something, and I'm coming here in a sense full of pain and a kind of, in a state of a kind of humility myself that I want to share with you. That has to do with women and adversity and the relationship between the personal and the political. I have been living for 5 years, in a relationship for 5 years, with a woman in her 60s. And when I read the papers, the preliminary papers, I was aware of, stood out, well, clearly aware of the silence about black experience, about the lesbian experience. The silence is there. And I, having lived 5 years with a woman in her 60s, was not sensitive to the question of age. And I feel that I have to as one of the things that has not been class, sex, race, all of these things, and that I hope that this is a conference, that it's these conferences or other conferences, that it's simply a conference that is stating problems, that is what it has done, it has done something. And I think that between now and the next conference, which I hope will not have black athletes, that is just an incredible goal for all of us. That I think between now and whatever the next conference is, we have all sorts of things about age, about what our relationship is to that, and racism is a condition of all of our lives, and ages is a condition all of our lives, and I think it's also the room has begun to touch what is our relationship to the patriarchal view of the aging woman.
I wish I could take issue with many particular points that the women on the panel made.
but I would like to take issue with a particular point that Barbara Ehrenreich made about radical feminists in, and the whole representation of radical feminists and implied in that lesbian and no lesbian separatists. And this bullshit about rejecting motherhood and rejecting your mother. I think that, well, it was Adrienne Rich who did write a book on motherhood, and she is a radical feminist and a lesbian, and many, and we all respect her very much. I just think that that kind of characterization of radical feminism is very destructive and very divisive and not true, and doesn't deal at all with the kinds of issues that radical feminists put forth and how they correspond to a feminist analysis of class and race, as well as heterosexuality. And it's not that there are radical feminists who are not also Marxist or leftist or whatever you want to call them. And the last thing that I want to say is that radical feminists, in order, radical feminists are not born, like Simone de Beauvoir said. You know, they become. And many of us also wore high heels and did the whole thing, you know, lived with men, women change throughout their lives. And I think you're cutting off a part of any kind of progression that, that a woman goes through when you characterize someone like that. So.
Is there any way that we can get through this incredible guilt trip and get out?
But it's there. It's not out there in the world, only white women are so involved with black women and understand their lives, and in here in this precious conference, it hasn't happened. What's happened here, the fact that there aren't any black women in this audience, that there's one or two, and that there are only a few on the panel, is a reflection of the way we live.
Can you hear me?
I have a loud voice. I can speak loud. I mean, I just feel it. My name is Dee Kreloff. I belong to a lot of categories outside pale, some of them inside. I'm white, I'm a woman, I'm Jewish, I'm 54, ageism is creeping up so very quickly. I'm a lesbian, I'm a mother, I'm a teacher, a whole lot of categories. And I talk not out of guilt, but out of being very tired. 5 years ago, I attended a conference at Riverside Church in the middle of the summer at 105 feet away called Racism and Sexism. It was sponsored by Sagaris and a black...